Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Now you can hear me. Y'all are already trained to stand and grab a hymn book. Years and years of practice. Let's stand. Let's turn to page 389. I will sing the wondrous story. We have a lot to sing about. Amen. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Waters at my feet, then he'll bear me safely over where the Lord knows I shall meet. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.
Good to see you this morning. Trust you're doing well. You know, I have a nickname for Carter McMullen. I heard somebody say it. What was it? It's not speed anymore. It's not. What is it now, Carter?
Crash.
And I'll let him give you the story. Amen. It's good to see you this morning. It's a great day. Beautiful day today. And a beautiful day together. God. So let's take a couple minutes, welcome each other, get around and welcome our visitors as well.
Thank you.
God is so good. Amen. If you'll return back to your seats, turn also to 193. I travel alone upon this lonesome way. My burdens were heavy and dark was my day. I looked for a friend, not knowing that he had all of the time been looking for me. For each tomorrow, 312.
God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness he giveth a song. Lord, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. Of each time that I take, for when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold.
On the last, now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens his children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in his care. Through purging, what fruit I will bear. In the Lord, he makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Amen. Please be seated.
Men, please come forward for this morning's offering. Do y'all remember that? Oh, good morning, Metropolitan Baptist Church. It's good to see you this morning.
Good morning.
All of you look so excited to be here, to see me. Do y'all remember the missionary that was shorter than me that came up here that one time and said he had to... I was taller than that guy, for sure. All right? I know I was, because I stood up next to him and I was like... So, announcements, Drama Stop will be having practice Tuesday at 6:15. That will be our midweek service on Tuesday at 7 p.m., so you guys be here. And missionary Brother Sam Barhees will be a missionary to India, will be speaking December the 1st at our evening service. The Hope Ministry, please keep them in prayer. They meet every Friday at 7 p.m., and I heard that they have a lady that's been visiting. Yeah? Okay, so just keep the Hope Ministry in prayer. And you guys know Project Nativity is coming up soon, December the 13th through the 15th. We will be having a hillbilly Christmas. If you have any questions about that, see Brother John. Sunday school Christmas parties, there you guys see the list. I think the one that stands out the most for me is men's Christmas party, Tuesday, December the 10th. We'll be having barbecue. So, ladies' brunch, 9:30 a.m. at Ginger Brown's. And Monday, December the 2nd, the Littles... Oh, that's Monday, December the 2nd. Okay, I want a little bit too. Okay, the Littles have a new page for your directory at the Welcome Center, so please stop by and pick one up. Let's pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, as we come before your mighty, mighty throne this morning, Father God, we pray this morning that you prepare hearts this morning, Father God, to give you praise, to give you glory and the honor in everything that we do and that we are. Father, we pray for our pastor this morning. We pray that you be with him as he preaches your word. Pray that you speak to our hearts, Father God, and Lord, that we continue to preach your word, and to reach those that are lost and without Christ in our community, not only in our community, but around the world, Father, wherever you may send us. Father, we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks. Thank you, Lord, for the strength you give to simply carry on through life's toils and tests, the worst and best. I know I'm not alone. You're always there beside me, and you hear me when I pray. Since I first began, you've been my dearest friend, so I give you all the praise. Thanks, thanks, I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks. I give you thanks this moment, and I will continually. For each day I live, more grace you'll give. I'm blessed abundantly. And I never will forget the moment when in my life you made such a change. Since your Spirit came, I've not been the same. I just want to give you thanks. Thanks, thanks, I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks. Oh, thanks, thanks, I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks.
Amen. God's good. We turn to a couple places as we begin this morning. The theme of this morning's message comes from Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And then also please turn to Paul's letter to the Colossians in chapter 3. You find your place there. Please stand, not for my sake, but in reverence to the good word of God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Those are very, very familiar words to us, where Paul writes to those churches that were scattered about the region of Galatia. And he says to them, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, gave himself for me. Then we read in Paul's letter to the Colossians in chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, where there he writes and he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Amen. For Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is adultery. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Father, we love you and thank you for your word. Father, I'm asking you in Jesus' name that you'd be pleased. Please give understanding, illumination. Give liberty, Father, both to our ears but also to the preacher's lips to declare exactly what you want us to hear today. Lord, I pray wicked one would have no place to enter in, cause any way inhibit what you want to do, to hinder what you would want to say to us. Lord, I pray for that one or anyone, maybe within the walls of this church house, that is yet without Jesus. Father, I don't care about professions of faith. I don't care about all that. I just ask you in Jesus' name, make yourself real.
Amen.
Speak to hearts, speak to lives today, Lord. I'm asking you in Jesus' name. And for his glory we pray. Amen. And amen. Of course, may be seated. Colossians chapter 3 is a very powerful and challenging passage of Scripture for me. One of the first sermons I ever preached came from this passage. That goes all the way back to 1987. Don't be doing that. But I'm here to testify that it is still speaking very powerfully to my heart, even in these days. Paul's letter to the church that was there in the city of Colossae. He's addressing people that are saved. He's writing to saved folks. Those precious souls that God was pleased to give life. Those that he made alive through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a companion passage to Colossians, and I'm sure you've heard this before, is his letter to the Ephesian believers, the folks, the church that met there in the city of Ephesus. And in the second chapter, I'd like us to look at that as a little bit of a preface, maybe introduction, to what we'll be looking at in his letter to the Colossians. As you turn there to Ephesians chapter 2. Oh, I love this passage. It says, "And you hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." Let's make this personal. Let's make it personal. Beloved, what is being said in this passage is the reason I stand here in front of you today. The old reprobate, Jim Turner, dead in his trespasses and sins. Dead spiritually. God was pleased to give life. God was pleased to make alive. Ye who were dead in trespasses and sins. There was a time when I walked according to the course of this world, marched to the beat of Satan's drum. Now, as we read in Galatians chapter 2, Christ liveth in me. Isn't that an amazing thing? An amazing Christ liveth in me. And let me say this. If you're saved this morning, you've got a lot to be thankful for.
Amen.
Not just on Thanksgiving, but every day. Every day as we walk with Jesus. As we look at this passage, we see that God changed our course. He changed my course. Verse 2, what's it say? Wherein, in time past, hallelujah, it's past tense, ye walked, past tense, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We walked in the world's way, and according, again, as we said earlier, to the beat of Satan's drum, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. God changed my course. He changed my course. My course is no longer according to this. My course is no longer directed by the wicked one. Jesus, hey, listen to this. Jesus broke the influence of the devil in my life. Amen. Passage goes on. Verse 3, God also changed my lifestyle, the way I live. Not just the course, but the way I live this course. Listen to this. Among whom also we all, you hear that? How many of us? We all had our conversation in times past. What's he saying? We all went after the world. Every one of us walked according to the beat of Satan's drum. We all had our conversation in time past and the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Hey, aren't you thankful you no longer live under Satan's control? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus broke that power. I'm no longer a slave to the desires of my sinful humanity. Not only that, doesn't stop there. As the old preacher said, it just keeps getting gooder and gooder and sweeter and sweeter. I'm no longer a child of wrath. See that there in verse 3? By nature, we were the children of wrath, even as others, even as all. We're no longer under the wrath of God. If you're saved, you're no longer under God's judgment for sin. Jesus took it. Jesus took it for us. Now, it's all by His grace. What's verse 7 say? That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Hey, we got a good God. We like to say that. He's also a kind God. He's kind to us. And all this is not because I decided one day I'm going to turn over a new leaf. Problem was, the underside of that old leaf was just as bad as the top side. No. It was not because of my efforts to reform my life. I'm going to be a better me. No, that's not. That wasn't what it was about. It was the result, beloved, of two words. Right there at the beginning of verse 4. But God. I love those words. But God. God was pleased to intervene. I love that word. God was pleased to intervene in my life. And if you're saved, He intervened. There was that time when God intervened. He stepped right in there in your life. Wow. Stepped in. He changed the course. He changed my lifestyle. Most importantly, Jesus took the punishment of God for my sin, setting me free. Setting me free, yes. We see here in this passage that He is a God rich in mercy. He's a God who has great love for us. There in verse 4. And God, when I was spiritually dead, breathed life into me, gave me life. I was dead, beloved, in my sins. You may profess today, well, preacher, I'm thankful that wasn't me. Paul says that was true of all of us. Every single one of us. And you may profess to be saved, but please ask yourself the question. Please ask the question as we start today. Was there a time when God gave you life? You know if He did. Was there that time when God breathed spiritual life into you? And I'm not asking you if you can point to the calendar and say, on this day and this time, I got saved. Huh? You may be depending too much on the calendar and not on what Jesus did. You remember that there was a time, that point in your life, God intervened and changed everything. Hallelujah. My. If you'd have to say, Lord, preacher, I don't know of such a time. I'm thankful. I'm thankful I can tell you that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This can be the day of salvation for you. This can be that day for you. God gives us life. But as we still stay here in Ephesians for a moment, in verse 6, he not only saved me and gave me life, he gave me a home. He gave me a home in heaven. You know, I've got a house over yonder on Sky Meadow Drive. But I thank God that I've got a permanent home in the heavenlies, it says. In the heavenlies. Hallelujah. That means, what's that mean? That means that heaven is now my home. What's it say? And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That's present tense, beloved. If you're saved, that's the truth. That's the reality for you right now. You have a heavenly home. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Well, brings us back to Colossians chapter 3. I want us to understand a little bit more about this. About this process and how we can come to appreciate this all the more. If you are risen in Christ and now have a home in heaven, there's some things that God wants us to take stock of. He wants us to realize some things. And the first of those is that we should desire. Are you saved? Amen. If you're saved, then we should desire the things of heaven. What's it say? If ye then be risen with Christ. That word risen just means raised to life. If you've got life, if God has given you life, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Wow. What's the most important thing in your life? What is the most important thing in your life? What do you value absolutely the most? What do you care about most? Well, preacher, why do you ask such a thing? Well, that's what Paul's telling us, isn't it? Paul's talking about that very thing. What do you care most about? What is it that you're seeking? What is it that you're desiring that is most important to you? The Lord Jesus Christ say about that? Did he ever say anything about that? In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, what do you say? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, what we invest in, we give ourselves to those things we love. That makes sense? That's what we give ourselves to, what we care the most about. We'll seek, we go after that, what we value, what is very most important to us. Where are we to put our treasure? Well, verse 20 of Matthew chapter 6 tells us. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Then he goes on to say, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So as we are making those deposits, if you will, in the things of heaven, more and more of our heart will be in the things of heaven and for the things of heaven. My prayer is, beloved, that the Lord would forgive me of the foolishness of my love for the things of this world.
You say, "Preacher, are you confessing something?" Well, you take it for what it is. Simple question is, where is our treasure? Where is our treasure? Is it sitting in the driveway? Get a little closer to home. Is it in the gun safe? For a preacher, is it on the bookshelves? Maybe it's in the jewelry box at the house. Where's your treasure? Is it in the things of heaven? Are we making deposits in the things of heaven? I often find myself pursuing the vanities and the entertainments of this world. What are you seeking? What are you seeking? Might the things of heaven, what's he talking about, the things of heaven? I believe he's talking about the things that give God glory, the things that give God honor, the things that God cares about. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Precious souls. Why should heaven motivate us? Why should the things of heaven motivate us anyway? Well, it tells us the passage. It's where Jesus is seated, isn't it? He's seated there on the right hand of God. That should be enough in itself. And as we value that, and we value our Savior and what He's done for us, and we're sowing our treasure to the things of heaven. And I'm not just talking about material things. I'm talking about this thing. Amen. Our heart is involved in the things of heaven. And the more along the way we're making those heavenly deposits, the more heaven will seem like home. The more heaven will seem like home. Yes. Oh my. It's where Jesus is seated there on the right hand of His Father. It's that place where He's promised to take us for all eternity. Wow. We should desire the things of heaven, but we also see in this passage in Colossians 3 that we should not only desire the things of heaven, but we need to think about the things of heaven. What's it say there in verse 2? Set your affection. That word affection is the things you think about, the thoughts. Set your affection, the things that your mind focuses on things above. Things above, not on things on the earth. We're so earthly, aren't we? Well, I speak for myself. You can include yourself in if you want. We should think on the things of heaven rather than the things of earth. What fills our minds? It might be dangerous if I could read minds right now. Some gal might be thinking about the roast that's in the pot at home. Wonder if I set that timer right. Are we going to have a cold pot roast when we get home? A raw pot roast? All the things. What's going to happen at the office tomorrow? At the schoolhouse? What's our mind on? Where do our thoughts take? I read somewhere that even when we're asleep, our minds are busy. Our minds are still hard at work. But we see the Apostle Paul tells us that we're to set our mind on things above. From verse 1, I'm thinking that's heavenly things. Things of heaven. We're to be thinking about the things of heaven. And might it be our prayer, Lord, help us. Help me, Lord, to focus on heavenly things. Amen. On the things of heaven. Well, preacher, you just don't understand, preacher. I've got a lot of things on my mind. I've got a lot of important things to think about. Wait a minute. What could be more important than our God? What could be more important than eternity? We're so stuck in the present. I'm speaking for Jim Turner. We're so stuck in the here and now that we forget that we are, right now, beloved, eternal beings.
Amen.
We have eternal life. Oh, I was once told by a Baptist preacher that you can be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I was a little taken back about that when he said it. You can be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I'm here to confess to you, I got a long way to go before that's a danger. I got a long way to go before I'm guilty of being too heavenly minded. We're to set our minds on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're to set our minds on our Savior. Direct our attention to Jesus. If we direct our attention to Him, He'll sort out all the other stuff. He'll sort out all the other stuff in our lives, all the things, all the stuff that robs us of the joy and the peace that God died to give us. The Lord Jesus Christ died to give to us. Now we'll keep Him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee. Why? Because he trusteth in Thee. Notice, the mind is involved there. Whose mind is stayed on Thee. Here's the bottom line. Yes, we've all got things going on in our lives. Every one of us. In our families, work, school, whatever the case may be. There's things going on. But here's the bottom line. The things of this earth are to be secondary.
That's right.
They are to be secondary to the things of God. To the things of eternity. Is that the case? I told you this is a very challenging passage indeed. We need to take our minds off the things of this earth. This earth's entertainments. This earth's stuff that steals our attention. This earth's attractions. And set our thinking on Christ. Now you think, well, yeah, I think about Jesus sometimes. Preacher, I think about him. Now when are we going to exhaust the subject of Jesus Christ? When are we going to think too much about him? When is he going to get too much of my time? I don't know about you, and maybe when you got saved, there were people who thought you'd gone off the deep end. You stepped into the deep end of the pool by accident, and you're just drowning in this religion stuff. I remember my dad said that. He got saved along the way. He's in glory now. But I remember my dad said that. He'll be all right. Your boy will be all right. It's just another fad. Well, I'm glad I can say that 45 years later, older too, the fad's still hanging on.
Man.
Oh, we'll never exhaust the things of our God. When you take our minds off this old world,
man,
let's get it set on Christ. The result of that is that our God will be glorified. He's glorified when we're focused on Him. You say, what's the big deal? He'll be glorified in your heart. He'll be glorified in your life. He'll be glorified in your thoughts. And that can't help but overflow in the rest of your life, in your relationships, in the everything that you involve yourself in. When you're consumed with the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll be glorified, we'll be blessed, and we'll have His peace, as we spoke of a moment ago. We'll have His peace in our own lives. Oh, it'll go a long way to be bringing peace in our homes. That is, when we're focused on Him, our affections on Him, our thoughts are on Him. It'll affect our lives. It'll affect our homes. I believe it'll affect our churches. We get our eyes off of self. And on Jesus. Well, if we're our thoughts are, if our heart's focused on Christ and our thoughts are focused on Christ, then that just culminates in that we live for Christ. We should live for the things of heaven. Verse 3 says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." If you're alive in Christ, the reality is that your old man, your old self, is dead. Now, is that what he says? What's it? If for ye are dead. I'm not talking physically. He's talking about that self life. Huh? What did Galatians 2:20 say? Crucified, put to death with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. What's he say here? For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That makes sense. The person we were before we were saved is dead.
Amen.
He's dead. The old self-centered man is out of commission. He's finished. Hallelujah. The other side of that is that you're alive in Christ. You're alive. Your life, Paul says, is hid with Christ. And I kind of like that little word, hid. It intrigued me, so I wanted to understand what it meant. The idea of that word hit, you know, if you hide something, did you ever have to hide something from your little brother, Isaac? He's not, yes, sir. If you're hiding something, what do you want it to be what? A secret. You want it to be, and this is the meaning of the word, safely tucked away. I love that. What's it say there again? Your life is safely tucked away with God in Christ. Huh? That sounds pretty good to me. Sounds pretty good. In that then, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2, that great love wherewith he loved us. Why am I so saved? Because God's love is so great. Because his love is so great. We need to live life in him, beloved. We need to live life in him and for him. Did we get that? Live life in him and for him. Don't allow the world, don't allow Satan to capture your heart and your thoughts. Live in the victorious life that's been given us in Christ. Oh my. It seems like we trudge through life rather than living the victorious life. We ought to be able to stand up straight and tall and rejoice in this God that has saved us, delivered us from our sin, given us eternal life, huh? The hope. What kind of hope is it? A heavenly hope, an eternal hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all this accomplished by God's work in us, what he did for us. He has accomplished it all. But on the other side of it, we have responsibility too. Notice how these things are worded. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek. He's telling us to do something. Desire, look for those things that are above. Verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on... We have responsibility. Ability as well. God's done such great and wonderful things for us. We just need to turn our affections and our thoughts on him. Direct our attention to Christ. Indeed. Wow. Live life for him. All of it accomplished by our God. Now, before we look at that verse 4, I want us to drop down a little, just a little bit in the passage. We see here the instruction that we're told now. The old man's crucified with Christ. It's interesting. But we're told, the Apostle Paul tells us, to put the flesh to death. How can both of those be true? So look at verse 5 of Colossians 3, verse 5. Mortify. That means put to death. Therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Now, he's not talking about going around killing the members of the church. No, he's talking about our members, ourselves. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And he goes on and gives this catalog of the wickedness that springs up in our lives, lest we see ourselves as dead. We are to put off that old man. What's verse 9 say? Lie not one to another, seeing that you have, notice, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Those deeds are the catalog there. We don't need to go through that list. We know where we fit in. Paul's taking it for granted here that we're going to do that, or we have done that. Put off, seeing ye have put off. The old man must be put off. Wow. We can't say, it's illegitimate to say, make this statement. I'm sorry, preacher, it's just the way I am. I remember, many, many years ago, I mentioned 1987. It wasn't too long after that. In the early 90s, I was pastoring in Pennsylvania, and I remember a little old lady in the church. And she came up to me, and she was... I could almost see the steam. She came up to me and she said, "Preacher, I can't help it. It's just the way I am. I get mad." I took about two steps back. And I said, because I wanted to be just out of... I said, "Sister, you meant to say that's the way you were before Jesus saved you." And she started to say, "Well, I was born this with a temper." Really? Is it legitimate? Is that legitimate? Yes, I was born with a temper. I was a chip right off the old block. Goes from my dad to his dad, his dad, his, all the way back to Grandpa Adam. We were born with that sin nature. We're born to sin. But as we read here this morning, here in Colossians and Ephesians and Galatians, Paul wanted all those churches to understand, yes, that's the way we were before Jesus. The old man is dead. That natural man that we were born with, and for my case, well, I won't say how long ago that was, but he's dead. He's dead, and he's buried. And we see here that we will be able to deal with the things on earth because our heart and our mind is set on the things of heaven. You get it? We'll be able, we're enabled, maybe a better way to say it, to deal with the things that we face on earth because our heart and our mind is set on the things of heaven. Do we get that? Pretty simple. Because what happens? The things happen on earth, and what's the first reaction? I'll take care of this. I'll fix this thing. Who does he think he is? What's she doing? We think we're wrestling with flesh and blood. Paul said something about that too, didn't he? In Ephesians chapter 6. We wrestle not Our enemy's not people around us. Our enemy's not the circumstances. Our enemy's not this or that or whatever we're wanting to point to. I've been made alive in Christ. The old man's been put away. And as I focus my heart, my mind on the things of God and the things of glory, what happens to the things of this old earth? Don't we sing something about that? They fade away, don't they? Don't seem near as important as we're better and better at putting on this new man. We put on the new and put off the old. Or maybe it's better to say we put off the old and put on the new. Isn't it wonderful that God's made us new people in Him?
Amen.
Whew, thank you, Lord. You want something to be thankful for? God's made us new people, a new person in Christ. You see, again, explain that. All I know is it's the wonder, the beauty of His mystery, of His working as we desire to get rid of that old man. Every day to see Him more and more in the rearview mirror and not in the headlights. He renews our knowledge. What's that mean? He fixes how we think. Well, I need that. He fixes how we think. Gloriously, He makes a new person out of us. Isn't that wonderful? Is there anybody that's excited about being a new person in Christ? He renews our thinking. We know in Christ, He gives us the truth. Isn't that right? What set us free? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What's the truth? I'm a new man in Jesus. Might not look any better, but I'm a new creature in Christ. From the inside out. From the inside out. Hallelujah. Makes a new person out of it. Renews our thinking. We know the truth. We rejoice in the truth. We don't rebel against the truth. We receive the truth. Right? It changes everything. It's not, let me think about whether I believe that or not. I've had people, you ever have anybody say that to you? Well, let me think about that. I see what the Bible says, but let me think about it. Say what? The Bible says it. Settles it. You plug it in. So the question, is Christ living in you? Is Christ living in you? If you're saved, He lives in you. The question is that another verse we're at work in our lives from His letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. We know that verse, don't we? We've heard it preached hundreds of times. Be ye filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine. Don't be under the control of... I would consider wine the things of this world, wouldn't you? Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. We'll enjoy Him. This Christ that lives in us, as He's the one that's in control. We have Him full control. It's Christ living in you. Is Jesus what we live for?
Amen.
That's a tough question, isn't it? Because I don't know, why should I have, can I use you as an example, Daniel?
Depends.
Good answer. I don't know, but there's days I think, man, everything, Jesus is in, He's in charge. And then something happens. You plug it in again. I don't see Jeffrey here. He's always laughing at me because I talk about traffic, my experience. I'm a country boy. And this morning we pulled out on Boat Club, there was one car. I said, Marcia, I could almost deal with this if this was the way it was. I mean, normally it's like 7:45 in the morning, and I'm in my old truck, and I'm sitting at the stop sign, and I'm looking and looking to get out on Boat Club. It's crazy. It's like, thank you, Lord. I survived getting on the Boat Club. I might not survive the sound system, or the sound system might not survive me. We understand, don't we?
Amen.
Oh, Lord, help us to be under your control. Even when those unexpected things come. What? I can't even get this thing on. How should we view the unexpected? If we're walking in the Spirit of God, if Christ liveth in me, and I'm filled with the Spirit, how should we view the unexpected? Wow, God, that's pretty cool. What are you going to do with this, Lord? I was talking in our Sunday school class this morning, all the things that come into our life, and we think, I don't know how we're going to deal with this. Don't ask that question. How am I going to deal with this? Don't ever ask that question. The question should be, Lord, how are you going to deal with this? What are you going to do in this? Huh? Wow. That thing got a lot lighter. So we've given it to the Lord that wants it anyway. Well, back to verse 4 in our passage. Colossians chapter 3. When Christ, who is our life. You know, I'm thankful for the King James Bible and its honesty. You look at that in your King James Bible, you see the words, who is. Notice that they're in italics. It means when the King James translators was translating, they supplied those words to make for readability and all that, but they wanted us to know. They didn't just pass it off. They wanted us to know that they supplied those words. Notice what it says. When Christ, our life. Isn't that great? When Christ, our life. Wow. Shall appear. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Huh? Wow. When Christ was our life. It says, it's saying that those that are alive with Christ will what? Appear with him. Isn't that great? That's true for every single person in this room that's saved.
Amen.
Young and old, doesn't matter. Man and woman, if you're saved, when Christ shall appear in glory, you'll appear with him.
That's right.
So the question comes, do you know? Do you know? Are you assured, as we read earlier, that your life is safely tucked away in him? Where could you be safer? Where could we be safer than to be safely, securely tucked away in the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Do you know your life is hid with Christ? Then we need to live for it. If we say, yes, preacher, amen, I'm sure thankful I'm saved, then live for him. Live for him, not for yourself. Not for the world's glory and the world's honor, but the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. And if you'd have to say, preacher, I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know if I'm in Christ. I don't know if these things are true of me. Well, they can be true right now. As we said earlier, as we quoted earlier, right now can be the day, the moment of salvation for you. What did we read earlier? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Doesn't say. It doesn't say might be saved. Doesn't say maybe someday. It says if you put your faith in Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Your thoughts on Him today. Amen. Live for Him. Let's stand together. I know this message is designed really to be a challenge to you and I as believers. But I remember, do you remember what it was like to not be saved? I've been saved 2/3 of my life, more than 2/3 of my life. But even today, 45 years later, I can remember what it was like to be lost. I remember what it was like when I didn't have that hope. When I didn't have a peace in my heart. Do you remember? Aren't you thankful? Are you not thankful for what Jesus Christ did for you? Huh? It should be all it takes to motivate us to live for Him. To make that desire and longing of our heart to please Him. Father, we bow before You. Thank You for Jesus today. Amen. Lord, I thank You for what You've done in my life. Thank You, Lord, for that day when You intervened in Jim Turner's life. Lord, I thank You. When I was going my own way and doing my own thing and living for self and what self wanted, there was that day when You stepped in. You intervened. That I can stand here before these dear folks and talk about those words. That though I was living for self and sin, but God changed everything. Thank You, Lord. And I pray for these dear folks gathered in this auditorium today. Pray, Lord, that You'd be pleased for every one of us that's saved, every believer in this room. I pray that we'd go from this place deeper and deeper in love with Jesus than we were when we entered. And I pray that that love for You and Your love for Your Son would grow with every day, every breath that we take. But I also pray, Lord, I don't know the hearts of folks in this room. I don't know the truth of their, whether they are saved or not. But Lord, I'm asking You, in the name of Your Son, Jesus, convince them, make their need of You real today. Their need to receive, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm asking that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Brother John.
Page 160.
Amen. As we sing, please obey the Lord. Do what the Lord would have us to do. Doesn't matter what the preacher asks you to do. Do what the Lord wants you to do. Please obey Him. Honor Him. These altars are open. You can join these precious folks as we sing.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior. And life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, everlasting. He passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
You know, as we sing that song, and then over this week, as I've studied that passage of Scripture, and I mentioned 1987, I found some old notes and some semblances of this morning's message on there, the title, Christ Liveth in Me. And it took me back to those days, 1987. I wasn't pastoring in 1987, but I think about then and now. You know, 32 years or so? These kids haven't, they've been around about 10 minutes. I'm so thankful for them. What will 32 years be in their lives? What will 32 years, well, be enjoying the Lord, I'm sure, by then. It's a pleasure to serve Jesus. It's an honor to be in his service. And I know this, as we sang, those things that are done, we will never, ever, ever regret. What we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things I regret that I did in Jesus, in Jim's name, in Jim's strength. But those things that we do in and for the Lord Jesus Christ, we will never, ever, ever regret. Set your mind on things above. Set your affection, things above, on the things of heaven, the things of God. Brother John, please come.
Let's sing our chorus. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good. You're dismissed.